So today is Vision Sunday. If you're new with us, that's something we do every year, once a year, almost always on this second Sunday of the year, letting everyone kind of get back from holidays and trips that you may have been taking there. And so today is Vision Sunday. It's not going to be amazing, I promise. We keep expectations low and then we have a shot at meeting them, right? So the main thing I'm wanting to set up as far as an expectation right now is that this time, the sermon time, will be different than it is normally. Normally, we're opening up one text of Scripture, looking into it together, seeing what God has for us there and how we should respond to Him. So there will be elements of that today, but it'll be different than what we normally do. So you don't have to turn to Luke. Instead, please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew right at the end of it. So you could think of it as turning to Mark 1 and then just looking back. That might be easier, but it's Matthew 28. And the text that will be read this morning is that Great Commission, those last few verses, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. If you don't have a Bible and you didn't pick up one of the free Bibles that Richie talked about, there should be some Bibles, at least one hopefully, in the back of each row. So you might be able to find one there in front of you. If you're using one of those Bibles, one of the chair Bibles, the New Testament reading will be on page 835. And then the Old Testament reading this morning, once you have your finger or marker or something in there, the Old Testament reading will be Psalm 67. So you can hold your spot in Matthew 28 and then turn over to Psalm 67. That psalm, which is not long, will be read in its entirety. And if you're using one of our chair Bibles, that is on page 481. So Psalm 67, if you're not using one of the chair Bibles, that should be just about in the center of your Bible. If you just open it up, you'd be pretty close there. So it'll be Psalm 67, and then Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and the scripture will be read today by Angela Altamari.
Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for the promise of your presence with us, always, to the end of the age. And then at the end of the age, we have unhindered fellowship with you and all your people forever and ever and ever. Would that hope be what drives how we live individually and as a church family this year? Would you use this time together to help spur us on toward that? In Jesus' name, amen. So as we enter a new year, you know, we do this every year, and often we have a sermon or a whole Sunday thinking about individually, how do we look back at last year, look forward to this year. Some of you make resolutions, you know, it's January 11th or something today, right? So, or 11th was yesterday, January 12th, and so some of us have already, you know, broken some of our New Year's resolutions. It's like, didn't even get 2 weeks in, but tomorrow's a day to start again if that's happened for you. But we don't only want to think individually about how we can grow
how we want to be different, how we want 2020 to be different than 2019 was. We want that to happen corporately as well. We want that to happen for us as a church. So that's what we're doing today. And you say, you know, what is Vision Sunday? Do you have some big vision that just came to you and then you're going to give it to us and it's now what we're supposed to do? No. There's lots of talk out there in the church and in the world, in the corporate world, about having your mission and vision and like having everything aligned with that, and that's good. So just to clarify how we're using mission and vision here. Mission is the thing that we don't get to decide what it is. So now if you're starting a business, you get to decide. You know, our mission is to serve customers the best chicken sandwiches ever, always with a smile and great service. That could be your corporate mission, and then there's different ways that that gets expressed, right? I don't know what Chick-fil-A's actual mission is, but if that's their mission, they're doing it really well. So as a corporation, you can come up with, this is what we want to do, right? And corporations really are just like, we want the shareholders to make money, but they say other things along the way. For us as Christians, we don't get to decide what our mission is. We may all have different callings in our lives, but we are all given the same mission. And every church that has Jesus Christ as its Lord, its King, its chief shepherd, their mission, whether it makes it in their official mission statement or not, their mission, our mission, should be the same as every other church that belongs to Jesus Christ. We don't make it up. It's been given to us by our master. So that's the thing that doesn't change, right? And it should sound, however we word it, whatever we say is our mission, should sound a lot like what Angela just read for us. It should sound like the mission that Jesus left us with, the Great Commission that he gave his disciples just before he ascended to his Father. So mission is the thing that doesn't change, at least until Jesus comes back. Vision flows out of mission and is more flexible. So vision is going to look different at different churches. Vision can look different at the same church in different seasons. How we're talking about it today, vision is about how we believe that God is calling us as a church and empowering us by the Spirit to be on that mission that doesn't change here. How should that mission be expressed through us in our place, in our time, by God's help? So really, when we're talking about vision, it's about trying to keep our eyes on the mission, on the Savior, and what he has given us to do while we wait for him. And so that happens best when we keep our eyes on Jesus, even as we've already been encouraged this morning. So we're talking about ways we believe God is leading us as a church, leading us to grow. But before we get to vision, let's rehearse again our mission. Again, there's nothing unique, nothing special about mission. If there was, we'd be doing it wrong. Instead, we simply want to be faithful to the mission that Jesus gave us. And what is our mission? We've summed it up this way. Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples to the end of the earth until the end of the age. Again, that's how we're summarizing it. People might say it a little bit differently, but hopefully you can recognize kind of the categories from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. So from that first word, I'm talking about our mission, Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It's not just banners we put up. We want this to be. We want him to be the center of our lives, where all our hopes are fixed. And if all our hopes are fixed on him, the way we live will look different than it did before and different than the world around us. He gave his life for our sins. We who deserve God's wrath because of what Jesus has done for us, in living the perfect life that we were supposed to live but haven't, in dying the sacrificial death in our place, the one that we deserve, and then by rising on the third day from the grave, guaranteeing life for everyone who hopes in him. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is our very life. We exist now to show and to tell how great Jesus is, because we want other people to know him too. We want to know him more, and we want to make him known. And it's not just for some of us. Jesus has sent the whole church. So this mission is not just for some super Christians. It's not for like the person that you know that like, well, of course they're on mission because they're really spiritual, right? They might even be kind of a church leader, maybe a pastor, a missionary, something like that. That kind of person, they should be on mission. This is for everyone who is a follower of Jesus. Every one of his disciples is given this commission. It belongs to us, not to me, not to the pastors, not to other leaders, but to us as a whole church, and even not just to our church, right? To other churches we're connected with, but then not even just to other churches we're connected with, to every church that belongs to Christ. This commission is given to the whole church. And what is it? Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples. I say the whole mission of making disciples because this is big. Our mission involves making new disciples and maturing existing disciples. And we see that right in Matthew 28 and verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This is kind of the guts of the commission. That baptizing them, baptism is something that happens at the beginning of your walk with Christ. You believe in him, you hear the gospel, you realize your sin, you realize your need, you turn from your sin, you trust in Christ, and you follow Jesus in baptism. That's a sign. That's you telling the church, "I believe in Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I am his. I am following him. I've been buried with him and raised to walk in newness of life." A disciple is one who knows, trusts, loves, worships, and follows Jesus. And so this baptizing them, that's what happens at the beginning when a person becomes a disciple. So we want to be making new disciples and seeing people baptized, following Jesus. But then also maturing existing disciples. We get that from verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Followers of Jesus are meant to mature, are meant to grow up. We don't just get saved and then be really happy about it and stay the same. As we know Christ, as we grow in knowing Christ, we grow in likeness to him. Followers of Jesus are meant to mature through learning more and more of his love. And this learning is not just to acquire knowledge. It's not just for ourselves. It's for obedience to Christ's commands. That's what he says. Teaching them not to know stuff, right? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's a lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus, learning to love like he does. So Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples, making new disciples as we tell the gospel, and maturing existing disciples as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the gospel, and as we live like we belong to Christ. But this commission isn't just local, right? It's to the end of the earth. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So this commission is worldwide in its scope, because the good news is for everyone. We learn from Revelation that Jesus has purchased by his blood a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to praise him forever. That is our mission. We can't do it all. We can't go to every nation by ourselves, and that's why this commission is not only for us. Right? It's for every church that belongs to Jesus Christ. It's to the end of the earth, and it's also to the end of the age. Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples, making new disciples, maturing existing disciples to the end of the earth until the end of the age. We see that at the end of verse 20. Behold, I am with you always. See, we can become overwhelmed by this mission. It's big. It's a lot. I mean, it's comprehensive. It doesn't leave anything out. It doesn't leave any part of your life out of it. Or mine. And it can become so big that we're just like, you know what, that sounds good. I'm just going to keep kind of doing all the things that I'm used to doing. But this is for us. But we cannot do it in our own strength. It is impossible. It is way too big for us. We are not up to the task. Except Jesus has promised himself to be with us by the Holy Spirit. And so he is with us, even though we are waiting to see him face to face. While we wait, he is with us. He lives in us by his Spirit, helping us. We need help, and we have a helper. And so when we're feeling weak, and we should, we run to Christ because he is strong, right? Our story isn't we're all a bunch of really good people who are on mission and we're ready to do it. No. No. We are all people who have rebelled against God's righteous rules and said, no, I don't want you for my king. And God, in his mercy, sent his son to save us. We deserved his wrath. And he has saved us by his grace. And now, while we wait for him, we live so that more and more people can know this great Savior, Jesus. So we can fulfill this commission, not because we're so great, but because Jesus himself is with us by the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he's commanded us to do. He's promised to be with us until he returns to make all things new. So this is still our mission today. Jesus has sent the whole church, including every single one of us, to do the whole mission, making new disciples and maturing existing disciples to the end of the earth until the end of the age. That's our mission. At home, on our block, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our nation, in the world, we are his witnesses. And so before we look forward thinking about mission, I just want to take a minute and think about 2019 and some of the highs and lows for us as a church. And I'm sure there are many more that you've experienced personally and that perhaps you can even think of that I didn't think of enough of them. By God's grace, we baptized 4 people in 2019. 4 people who said, I want to follow Jesus. I belong to him. In late spring, we got to celebrate Aaron Gannon's ordination and installation as one of our pastors. That's a great gift to us. It also represented a lot of work on Aaron's part over a number of years. But we are so glad that God has called him and brought him here. Not just to be one of us, but as one of us, to be recognized as one who is called to shepherd the flock. Several of you completed the spiritual formation course that had started the year before, so you did a lot of reading, you did a lot of engaging with your Bible, engaging with different books to help you grow in likeness to Christ, and to grow in these ways of growing up in Christ's likeness and in growing on mission. So praise the Lord for that. This summer, we had a small team go to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip continuing with the church that we prayed for this morning down in Pika Pika. And we praise the Lord for that. That is something that has been part of our vision. It doesn't have an official slot in this year's vision, but that is something that has been and will continue to be the vision of our church, connecting with churches around the world, and not just kind of praying in general, but building relationships with people who are going to new places with the gospel, preaching Jesus to people who have never heard. And that's what these folks are doing down in the Dominican Republic. There are ways in which that's a Christian nation and the gospel's there, but in the villages up in the mountains, it's not. It's not. And so they go and start new works and see what God does and go out on faith and see people saved and then gathered as believers and organized as a church. And then they go to the next village, basing out of that main church there in Pika Pika, which itself is not large. And so I went, in 2017, Carlos and Sarah came here in 2018, and then in 2019, Selena and Kim and Chloe and Cammy went down there for several days. And you say, well, that you only named like four people, right? We're not a big church. We're not going to send 25 people somewhere across an ocean to bless somebody, but a few of you can go. And so even if that time didn't work out for you this year, I'm not announcing a specific plan, because even that came from and was executed by the people who went. And we supported it, we're on board, we're for it. Yeah, we're continuing this relationship, but it happened because the people who were actually going said, yep, I'll go, I'll plan it. Let's do this. What can we do that will serve them? And as they went, we also got to help them develop their computer lab and grow in that, which had been a goal for them. So by God's grace, we got to do that this year. And we look forward to what he will do through that relationship with the Dominican Republic, through our relationship in Zambia with Wilbrod and Zicky, who were here just a couple months ago serving us. And I look forward to going there again. The tentative plan is that I'll be going and teaching there again at their pastor's college in June of this year. Tickets haven't been purchased, so nothing's for sure yet, but that's what he would like to happen. And a lot of times the things that Wilbrod would like to happen, happen. So we look forward to doing that. It was a great joy to be with them late in 2018 and look forward to being with them again as they seek to train pastors who will then go out all over Zambia for the sake of Jesus. Fame. Also something that was new this year. We had talked last year about growing in evangelism. We'll talk about it some more again today. But one of the specific ways that we did that was through Christianity Explored. And so we had an opportunity to invite neighbors, and several of you stepped up to serve every week for 7 weeks, serving them, caring for them, engaging with them. And we'll be talking more about that in a little bit. So those are some of the highlights, some of the highs. We also experienced lows this year. Paul Strauss, a former deacon here, passed away. And he was young. He was 59. And he wasn't sick until he was sick. And then a few days later, he was gone. And it's still hard for us to imagine that that's actually the way that it is. But it is. And he left a huge hole here that won't be filled by any one person. That still hasn't been filled yet, and we don't know how or when exactly, but we believe that God is calling some of us to step up and serve in some of the many ways that he served. Behind the scenes, not wanting recognition, not wanting attention, just faithfully serving. Also, several very dear families have moved away from us in this last year, and I know many of us are feeling that. And there can even be a I don't want to go in deep on relationships with people if they're just going to move away. So first thing is, a lot of those people were here for like 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, long time, okay? Others were here completing courses of study and then going on into their careers. And so we want to be grateful for the time that God has given us with each of them. And each one of them would say they've taken things away from here. Part of being part of our family has changed who they are, how they think about church, how they think about living for Christ, how they think about the gospel. And so we're grateful for that, and grateful that there will be other churches all over our country that benefit from those people having gone out from here. So those are some of the highs and the lows for us from last year. How does all that connect to where we're going? Well, let's talk about what is our vision for 2020. We want to think about it as membership and mission, because before we get to specifics and here's what we're going to do, here's a new thing we're going to start, the point in talking about all this is for each one of us to be participants in the mission that Jesus gave us. So even before we get to particulars, how will you grow in your commitment to Jesus' mission this year? If you haven't already looked at last year, kind of looked at your life, here's where I want to go. Maybe you don't organize your life by that calendar at all, especially if you're still on a school schedule. The turnover of 2019 to 2020 doesn't mean much to you. But how will you grow in your commitment to the mission? I'm not even talking about here. As you're organizing your own life, thinking, how do I want to spend my days in my one short life while I wait for Jesus to call me home or to come again? How will I use the days, the hours, the minutes that I have to live for his fame, to live for the good of others? And then together, how can we grow in our commitment to the mission? So some of that might look like you doing your own things with your own family on your own block and at your own place of business, right? We've said it a lot, right? Where you are, God has that for you. It's on purpose. He's called you there. And you may be the only follower of Jesus that some of your coworkers have any regular interaction with. And God's called you to be there. Right, you said several times, I don't have a key card to your building. I can't go in there and lead a Bible study, and I'm not saying you have to lead a Bible study either, but how will you live as a Christian? Not just thinking like, okay, well, I'm gonna bring my Bible to work and leave it out so everyone can see, and I'm just going to tell everyone about Jesus all the time and not do my job. Not what we're saying. Okay, you know, well, God's called me here to be a missionary, right? He's also called you to be faithful. You know, they're paying you to do something, right? So do that. That's good. That's a way you live as a Christian there. And the way you respond when things get tense can be a way that you live as a Christian there. And then perhaps as people see your life, they may ask some questions. And maybe you need to think about creating context to get outside of work. Like when I worked at the insurance company down in Bala Cynwyd for several years, you know, we're professionals. We don't talk about politics or religion here. That's the lower down people are the ones that talk about that stuff, but we're polite. And so in the office, that wasn't really a thing. So it's like we had to find ways to get out of the office and get out of the office together in order to continue deepening those relationships, in order to talk to people about their need to be rescued and that God has done everything to meet that need. So as we think in terms of membership and mission, we are all part of the body of Christ. We are not our own. We belong to him. We must take our cues from the head, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play in fulfilling the mission individually. And we all have a part to play in fulfilling the mission corporately. There's no role in the New Testament, there's no spiritual gift of being a spectator. It's not there. You can look and look and look. There's no spiritual gift of watching other people serve. There's no spiritual reality of only being served, of only receiving. We are all called to participate in the mission. And part of that calling is commitment to one another. Commitment to one another as members of the body of Christ. Just as in a body, when one part is weak or hurting, resources are sent in that direction. for those who have partnered with us here in membership. We want to be committed to you like that. So if you've been kind of floating around the edges and going like, I like being here, everything's really nice, people are nice to me, but you haven't jumped in, you haven't said, you know what, I'm in, sign me up, I'm going to join. Come to the membership class at the end of the month. Or if you've already been to a membership class and then stalled out somewhere in the process after that, ask Richie about it, ask me about it. We can probably tell you where you are in the process if you've done the membership class and say, here's what it would take to finish that and to communicate to all of us, yep, I'm here, I'm in, I want to be part of this family, part of this local expression of Christ's body as we seek to live for his glory in Northeast Philadelphia. And that kind of commitment to one another shouldn't make us insular and only caring about ourselves, though we want to care for one another. It actually then prepares us to move out on mission because we build one another up. We encourage one another. We exhort one another. Even in moments, we rebuke one another and we help remind one another, here's the mission that God's given us. Here's what he's called us to. How are you doing at that? I feel pretty weak at that. Let's pray together. That's probably how a lot of those conversations will go, but let's be talking like that. In our small groups, if you don't feel connected or haven't connected to one of our small groups yet, do that. Those are the kinds of conversations that are being had there. Groups are either seeking how to apply the sermons that are preached here. Most of them are studying through books of the Bible. We're looking at it. We're being encouraged by it. We need truth for ourselves to grow, but then it's like, how does this work itself out? How's that relationship at work going? How's that hard thing in your life going? How can we come alongside you? How can we pray for you? How can we walk with you? Our commitment to one another as members of the body of Christ prepares us to move out on mission. We're planning another pastoral team retreat this year in the month of February, and this is some of what we're going to be considering. How do we help equip our members to be going out on mission? How do we equip our members to be caring for one another? How can we grow as a church? So please pray for us. We'll let you know before we go away on that for a couple days. And so please be praying that God would give us wisdom. But as Richie said in the announcement time, we know that not all the wisdom in this church resides in the pastors of this church, not even close. We know that not all the good ideas for how to do mission and how to grow in our commitment to the mission, not all those good ideas reside in the pastors. And certainly the ability to execute those good ideas does not only reside in the pastors. It's you. It's us working together, walking together, dreaming together about what God will do through us for his glory. We read responsively from the end of Romans 11 and the first part of Romans 12 and being a living sacrifice, living according to God's will. And Paul follows that up with several short exhortations about what it means to live this sacrificial life. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We want to be this. And in many ways, by God's grace, this is what we are. So this isn't a, man, why aren't you guys on mission? Get with it. This is not that. We're so glad to be on mission with you, and we want to grow. We want to continue to grow up together into the head, who is Christ. So would you pray for us next month as we're away, as we'll be praying for you, considering how we can grow as pastors to better equip you for the work of the ministry. So to some specifics for this year. One, we want to be preparing for our next church plant. You can say, that sounds crazy. You've been keeping track of all the people that have moved away? Yes, I have. That's why I mentioned them already. And we'll have some updates on some of them in our family meeting. But this is who we are. This is who we want to be by God's grace. And we pray every week for two churches that we've planted in the last several years. The last one in spring of 2018. And so this isn't an announcement that we're planting a church on a particular date. It's not an announcement that we're planting a church in a particular place. It's a way that we want to walk together. We're not telling you what is happening. We're saying this is something we still believe that God wants us to do. And we want to get ready. We don't want to just say, you know what, we've suffered our losses this year. Over the last 3 years before that, we sent out lots of people all over the place for God's glory to start churches and to help other churches. And so we just need to really regroup. I do think we need to regroup. And I do think we need to grow. And I do think we all need to be all in here as much as we possibly can be. And I think all of that is about getting ready to do the next thing for God's glory. So maybe in a couple years, it may be in 5 years, but we want it on our radar. So in our pastoral team meetings, we're already praying for what will be next. We don't know that we have a planter, so you can pray for that. We don't know what neighborhood for it to be in, so you can pray for that. We don't know how it's going to happen, so you can pray for that. There's a lot you can pray for, but we want all of us to begin praying this way. Not just a few of us going like, okay, that's still our vision. We want everyone to know that is still our vision. That's what we want. We're not just about growing something big here on Ashton Road. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you know this. We're not just about building something here. We want to see God's fame spread out all over the place as his gospel goes out. So now is the time to start thinking about the next one. We want to begin to pray. So will you join us this year as you are praying each day? Make that part of your prayer. God, would you help us? Would you grow us and make us healthy in such a way that we are ready to send? And would you bring the right people? Maybe even praying, I hate to say this after how many people have moved away this year. God, maybe you want me to be part of that. Be praying that way, asking for God to be at work in us all together and how you can be part of that in particular. Whether you keep being here and helping to send out people and encouraging them and praying for them and crying when they leave like we do every time, or whether you're one of the ones that will pray over and send out. Whether it's one or the other, we want to be on mission for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So preparing for our next church plant, which right now looks like prayer. Next, witnessing to our neighbors. We want to grow in evangelism. We continue to want to grow in that area, right? If there's an area of your life where you feel weak in following Jesus, it's probably this. Right? Like, how do I talk to someone else? Like, we don't even have the same like categories of thinking. How do I even do that? I'm not a good enough Christian to turn around and tell other people about Jesus. It's like, okay, well, if you're really feeling that, then like, let's focus on growing up in likeness to Christ. But don't wait. If we wait until we're all the way ready, if we wait until we're all the way perfect, guess how many people you'll tell about Jesus? Zero. Because none of us is ready. None of us knows exactly what to say. Even your pastors. When we're trying to talk to a coworker, a friend, a neighbor about Jesus, there's fear. There's hesitation. There's how will this be received? How will this change our relationship? All those things are real. And they're all worth fighting through for the sake of our Master, our Savior, our King, who has given us this commission. One of the aims of that spiritual formation course, completed by several of you, was to help people grow in the area of evangelism, to give some particular equipping and some resources to help grow in that area. And there will be opportunity to be involved again in Christianity Explored. We're planning to do that again this fall. So several of you jumped in, were here every week, and weren't even just doing like the job you were assigned. Even the people who like they could have just stayed in the kitchen and said, "Well, I'm here preparing dinner." When they were done preparing dinner and the people were there eating, they sat at the tables too. And they were talking with the guests who were here and participating. And it was such a joy. I know it was a joy for Aaron who led that, coordinated that, taught that. It was such a joy to see you serving, to see you being eager to tell people about Jesus, eager to welcome them here. So there will be another opportunity coming up. And some of the key people who served in that area are some of the people that we've prayed and cried over in the last few months. The Trocks were the ones who were watching kids in the nursery. Jim Clotter was one who was in the kitchen making things happen. And so there are spots. There are openings. So don't think, well, we did it last year and it's all under control because now we've done it once. No, there's a spot for you. Whether you feel ready, whether you feel, well, I don't know if I can have that conversation. I don't know if I can lead a discussion at a table. I'm not very good at preparing food. Maybe you shouldn't be on the food then. But we want to serve according to the gifts, right, that God has given us. He's preparing some of you for that good work this fall. So there's going to be more coming up about that. So we plan to grow in evangelism corporately through Christianity Explored, but we are all called to be witnesses wherever we are. And so we want to continue to consider how we can equip you for that and how we as a church can grow in that. So witnessing to our neighbors. Then welcoming people into our family, into our church family. It can be scary going to a new church. Probably almost everyone in here, except for the kids, has that experience. You may not know anyone when you first get there. You may be surprised that you do know someone and are like, oh, stink. You may not be used to how things are done, right? You go, this feels different from what I've known. I'm not sure what to do. It may feel like it's hard to kind of break in and begin to form real relationships with people, especially people who have great relationships with each other and are so glad to see each other on Sunday. Feel like, well, how do I, kind of like, I want that. How do I get in there? Now, many of you do a great job at finding and welcoming guests who are gathering with us. Finding them, encouraging them, meeting them, remembering their name the next week, when they come, beginning to build relationships. And that's what we want to do. And this is an area in which we want to grow in 2020. So we're looking at a couple specific ways of doing that. Richie is assembling a greeting team to welcome people in. Now, many of you know that we have a lot of great kids doing that already, and they're handing you the bulletin, you know, before you can even get to the steps. And you're like, you know, I need the railing, and then I'll take the bulletin, okay? So we have some awesome greeters that really make people feel welcome already, but we want more of us, more of you, to be involved in that. So several of you have already been recruited for this. Some of you have already volunteered for this. If you're interested in being part of that, you say, yeah, I want to do that. I want to welcome people here that way. You can talk with Richie. He is putting that together, and that's going to be getting started up soon. The second way, Woody and Melissa Chipman are spearheading an effort to help welcome those who are just getting connected with us as a church. So there's greeting people on the first Sunday they come, and that's good. You can help break down some barriers. You know, if it's a guest like me, I'd be like, yeah, thanks, I'll take that bulletin. I don't really want to talk to you. I'll go over here. That's kind of how I do going to places I haven't been before. And I know some of you are very much like that, and others of you want to talk to 10 different people on the first Sunday. We want to serve like both of those people and anybody on a spectrum in between. So we want to welcome people on that first Sunday. But then how do we help after? Okay, so you're not new anymore. I see you. I recognize you. I'm here at church with you. But that's as far as it goes. I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. I kind of guess maybe you're connected with other people here. Let's not guess that maybe people are connected with other people here. If you see someone and you don't know them, you can say hi. And sometimes you know what happens? You talk to someone and they're like, you know, I've been going here for 6 months. You go, yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
It's the worst.
It's the worst. And so that's, again, one of the risks that we need to take, right? Because then we can just say, you know what? I'm so sorry. I've got a couple little kids. I've been distracted. I don't have that excuse anymore. My kids are getting bigger. But I know a bunch of you still have that excuse. And so that's fine. Use it. Say, I'm so sorry. I'd like to make up for that starting now. Tell me something about yourself, okay? So go out of your way. Find people that because there's others you know, like, okay, I know what small group you're in. I know you're connected to these people. I know you've got like 10 best friends here. Even if 4 of them moved away last year, you still have 6. Like, some of us you know that about, right? But for the ones you don't, let's move toward them and not wait for them to move toward us. So Woody and Melissa came to the pastoral team about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, with an idea to help us welcome people who are just getting connected to us. And so, starting 2 weeks from today, on the last Sunday of every month, several people in our church will host a lunch right here at our building after our Sunday gathering for those who are new. So the way we'll pitch it to someone who's just starting to get here, it's like, hey, if you've been coming like a couple weeks and you're thinking like, hey, this is my church, I want this to be my church, and I don't really know anybody, there's going to be a few people who are going to make you a lunch for free that you just come and enjoy, and we want to get to know each other over some food. And if Woody and Melissa are coordinating it, you know the food is going to be good. And so you might be thinking, I'm already super connected here and like a member and stuff, can I come? Well, you can be on the team that serves, and so that would mean that you're bringing food. They're going to say, you know, here's kind of the theme for this Sunday. Can you bring this? And you say, I can't bring that. I only have this dish that I'm amazing at. And Woody will say, that's okay. We can work around that. And maybe there will be somebody who's allergic to all the other stuff we're making. And sure, you can bring that. I don't know if you'll say exactly that, but in the neighborhood, right? Okay. And so talk with Woody and Melissa. They're probably going to talk with you. They're going to be recruiting, right? They're going to be recruiting, because the first one's in 2 weeks, several of you. And the hope is to have 4 to 6 adults for each meal, preparing food, coming, being here, and while you're here, intentionally connecting with the guests who are gathered here. And so that's going to take a lot of people, because it's not going to be the same people every month. So even if you say, well, I'm going to be out of town in 2 weeks, I can't be, ha, 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 great. So there's going to be one on the last one in February, and then the last one in March, and in April, and in May, and we'll see from there. And so we want us to be involved, and us to own this. And sure, it's Woody and Melissa's idea. So again, in keeping with what Richie was saying in the announcement time, all the great ideas, they're not necessarily from us. Right, so what we want to do, this is actually how, especially for those of you who are new, this is how a lot of things happen around here. Okay, I don't know if it's just that like we're really bad at ideas, and that's fine, I'll totally own that. But many of the things that have gotten started here over the years haven't come from the pastors, they've come from the people who are saying, I sense this need. I felt this need when I came here. And so I want to be part of helping other people who will feel some of the things that I felt. Help them not feel that. And help them be connected. And help bring them into community. That's the idea of what Christy's coordinating for Friday night the 24th. Getting people who, like, I don't know if I know that many people here. Here's a way to get to know people in a very different context. Playing some board games, you can learn a lot about people playing games with them. Right? Some people already know that, and that's why they're already making plans to be busy that night and not be able to be here, okay? You can learn a lot about people through playing games together, and then that can become a way to learn something about someone that you didn't know. And then you grow in knowing them. You say, you know what? Are you connected to a small group? Because it'd be fun for you to be in our small group. And they come, and they're connected, and it's like, hey, I have a friend here. I don't just come here and, like, sure, the sermons are okay, I guess, and the music's good, and, like, this is good. I like this church and what they do. But it becomes, this is my family. This is where God has called me. This is where I want to be. So if you have ideas, not just in the things we're talking about, if there are holes you see, if there are ways you say, like, well, but what about this? Come and ask. And especially if you have a, here's how I'd like to do that. You think that's a good idea? We'll ask lots of questions about it, right? We ask Woody and Melissa lots of questions. You know, what about this? Did you think about that? I'm sure you did, but how about, right? So we'll ask lots of questions. And so our role in that will be to help refine that idea, to help encourage that idea, to help pitch that idea. If money needs to be involved, to help support that idea by planning for it in the budget. This is our responsibility, all of us, not just one, not just a few, not just even the people who have the great ideas, but for all of us. It's us as the church together as the body of Christ. And so we want to, by God's grace, continue to grow in equipping you, in encouraging you, in helping you to do the work of the ministry, in helping you to build up one another in the faith, encouraging one another, speaking the truth in love to one another. That's what we want. And so we look back on 2019 and we praise the Lord for how he's been at work and what he's done. We look forward. By God's grace, we want to plant a church. We don't know how or when, but we know why. And so we want to pray. We want to grow in our witness at work and at home and together from here. And we want to grow in welcoming people into our family here. And so this is for everyone. And if you say, you know what, I've just kind of been here and I'm glad to be here and I appreciate what's happening here, make this year, 2020, the year you commit. The year you jump in and say, this is going to be my place. Not for you to take some kind of unhealthy ownership. We hope no one's doing that. But to say, it's me. I'm in. I'm part of this. This is my family. Not just I'm showing up for a service, but I'm here to serve. So if that's you, one way to get started is you can go to our website and sign up on the Serve page. You can find it under the helpful links in the footer. In the bottom right part of our site, there's a link that simply says Serve. And you can sign up for all sorts of different opportunities for serving, some of which are connected to what we're talking about today, some of which are connected to things that are totally different than what we're talking about today. But we believe, according to God's word, that God has given every believer a spiritual gift or gifts to use to build up the body of Christ. Not for ourselves, not so we can be seen. I've got to have that gift seen. Everyone needs to know I have it. It's like, no, you've been given it by God through the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And he's given it not just for you, but for others, for building up our church so that we can bless our neighbors for God's glory and for their joy. Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples to the end of the earth until the end of the age. So this is our mission. Is this what you long for? Is this what you're thinking about? Is this on your mind? Is this on your heart? If not, begin praying. Say, God, would you make me want what you want? Would you make me love what you love? And would you show me how not just to want what you want and love what you love, but to do what you would have me to do? What part will you play in this great mission that God has given us while we wait for Jesus to come back? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the idea of mission didn't start with Jesus telling his disciples about it. The Father, you sent your Son on a mission. A mission that seemed impossible. A mission that only one person could do. A mission that crushed your Son so that we could have life both now and forever. We thank you that Jesus accomplished that mission and could say on the cross, "It is finished." And that now he has turned to us and said, "All authority belongs to me, and here's what I want you to do." Would you work in us, and would you work through us this year for your glory? Would you make us individually into the people that you want us to be and corporately in the church that you want us to be? And we look forward to what you will do according to your promise for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.